Welcome to The Kelly Roach Show, the place for no fluff, easy to implement, 20-minute or less business and leadership lessons to help you build a sustainable business that scales, lead with integrity, and create a lasting legacy. I'm Kelly Roach, former NFL cheerleader and Fortune 500 executive turned eight-figure entrepreneur. Let's get started. I captured the man behind the magic. I have such an incredible treat for you all today. Rory Vaden is on the show. This is the guy that is like behind the brands that you see out there that you're like, how are they doing it? And he's going to break it all down for you guys today. Rory, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you, Kelly. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. I just had you on our podcast. I was blown away at just how experienced and professional and sharp and how much our values are aligned. I'm so impressed by you. So honored to be here with your people.
Thank you. I'm so happy to have you here. Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm so glad that we finally connected and our worlds converged for sure. And what you do with personal brand and the way that you teach about personal brand is like, it's perfect for the people that are listening in today. So just a little bit, I mean, obviously, best-selling author, millions and millions of downloads on your TED Talk. I think you had 10 clients in the last year on the New York Times bestseller list. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, what? Yeah. Right? So built companies, sold it, started another one, now co-founding the Brand Builders, organization, as well as the show. But just give everybody a little bit of context. Like, when did you fall in love with brand building? And like, how did your story weave together to kind of get you to where you are today?
Yeah, totally. Well, I was raised by a single mom who sold Mary Kay Cosmetics. My mom got pregnant when she was in high school, had my brother, was divorced from his dad a couple years later, got pregnant, had me when she was 22, and then was divorced and separated, and we never saw my father again 6 months after I was born. So she was 22 years old, you know, no college education, single mom with two kids. She's become very successful today, and it's been really great. We've always had a lot of love. But what she used to do was she would drag me to these Mary Kay meetings that they would have. And they were always talking about goals and time management and leadership and self-talk and like all of these things. And so I got exposed to that world pretty early. And then when I was in college, I worked in a direct sales company. I went door to door, 14 hours a day, 6 days a week on straight commission, paying all of my expenses so that I could pay my way through school. Yeah. I didn't want to become a door to door salesperson. I was a normal child. I wanted to grow up and sell Mary Kay, but I didn't.
I love it.
I was around basically the entrepreneurial environment, the personal development environment. And I decided, I saw a speaker, you know, I'd seen several speakers over the years, like being in direct sales, they would bring them in. And I was like, gosh, this is what I want to do one day. And so I went up to one of them after, and I said, I really want to do what you do. And they, you know, they basically said, go do all of these things. And so I joined a contest called the World Championship of Public Speaking when I was in my 20s. I made it to the World Championship and lost. And then I made it back the next year, which was the top 10 in the world out of 25,000. And the next year I lost again, actually, but I lost higher. I was the world champion, first runner up.
It's amazing.
And then we started a company that was teaching sales. So we were like, we're going to put on the biggest motivational conferences in the world, and we're going to like inspire people and change the world. And we're in our 20s. And so the only thing we knew how to do was sell. So we did sales training conferences that we sold to salespeople. Mm-hmm. And we just cold called out of the yellow pages and said, amazing, let me come into your office. I'll do a free sales training for all your people. And if I do a good job, and you're convinced that I'm a good salesperson, then let them buy a ticket and come spend a day with me and my partners, and we'll teach them how to sell. That became a sales coaching company. I had met someone in college that I started that company with, and he had grown up with this woman named Amanda. And he was like, we got to hire this woman. She's the smartest person I know. And so basically the three of us, and a couple other partners started the company. Well, her and I started dating a year later. We fell in love. We got married a few years later after that. We grew that company to an 8-figure sales coaching business. Mm-hmm. We sold it. That was along the way. I hit the New York Times bestseller list when I was 29 with my first book, Take the Stairs. Then my second book came out with my TED Talk, How to Multiply Time, in 2015, and that went viral. And then we sold the company in 2018. And frankly, we had the way we got into brand building was, it was not planned at all. It was, mm-hmm. we had a non-compete in the sales coaching space after we sold the company. But what happened was randomly, one of our friends at the time was a gentleman named Lewis Howes. And mm-hmm. Lewis, we had met because I had been on his show years before. It was the School of Greatness podcast. It was like this new show. And then he had grown it to like 30 million downloads. And he said, I had sort of helped him as a friend with his first book and helped him become a New York Times bestselling author. And then we lost touch. And then literally the day we exited our former company, Lewis calls out of the blue and says, I know we haven't talked in a while. You know, my podcast has grown to 30 million downloads, but I'm stretched in all these directions. I have all these things coming at me. I don't know what my strategy is. I'm not keeping as much money as I should. And he said, I feel like I need your brain on my business. Is there any chance that you could spend some time with me? And we were like, sure, our calendar is literally wide open. And so Lewis came to our house and we took him through this. We didn't have a process. We didn't have a plan. We just were helping our friend, like, here's how we would think about all of these things and here's what we would do. And Lewis's company, he said, he was the one that said, this is your new business. This is what you were born to do. This is the most powerful, you know, personal brand strategy I've ever gone through. We said, well, we can't start a business, Lewis. We don't have any. I mean, I just sold my email list, my podcast, all my social media, all 200 of our people. Like, we've been working 80 hours a week for 12 years. Like, we're done. Like, we're not starting a business. And he's like, no, we're doing this. And we're like, dude, we don't have any people or anything. And he said, that's okay. I'm going to have you on my show. And we're going to tell the whole world that this is your new business. And we did that. And, you know, we had 1,000 free calls come in over the next couple months.
That's wild.
And it's just, so we just celebrated our 5-year anniversary. We went from 0 to 8 figures again. And this time in 5 years, it took us like 10 years last time. Yeah. Lewis has gone from 30 million downloads to over 500 million total downloads in the first couple years we were working together. And then from that, you know, we have about 790 active clients. And then some of our private clients are people like Ed Mylett and Amy Porterfield and Eric Thomas, the hip hop preacher. And I mean, it just, the list goes on and on. So we've worked with a lot of high profile folks, but our real heart is just for mission driven messengers and helping them, you know, elevate their brand and make a difference in the world.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so powerful. I love that. And I love that he saw that in you. And it's so crazy because sometimes you can't see from inside the bottle, right? And then someone else like experiences that in you and is like, no, stop.
Yeah. I mean, it was not our plan. Lewis was the one that called it. He straight up called it out. And and here we are.
So powerful. I think personal brands are just the most important, powerful thing that any of us can build, because if you believe, which I do, that we're all here with a mission, with a purpose, with a message, you have to dedicate and commit yourself to finding out how you can get that word out to the world and do it in a meaningful way. So when you look at now 790 clients, and you've helped so many people, obviously, to build these global brands, what are some of the things, Rory, that for you are like the non-negotiable essentials that you feel you really want to work with a client to establish and establish really, really well to set the stage for massive brand growth like that?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think a lot of it starts with people understanding what personal branding is and what it is not. And so often people assume that personal branding is things like social media and websites mm-hmm. and a podcast, or you have to write a book, or you have to become a speaker or a coach or a course creator. And we don't define it as, we don't think of it as any of those things. We think of it as something much more fundamental. To us, personal branding is the formalization, digitization, and monetization of your reputation. It's the formalization, digitization, and monetization of your reputation. So personal branding is not new. Yeah. If it feels new to you, you're thinking about it wrong. Mm-hmm. It should feel mm-hmm. familiar, because people will go, well, do I need a personal brand? Like, you can't even ask that question. That's like saying, do I need a reputation? It's like, you have one.
You have
everybody,
one.
Everybody yes. has one. You either are forming it deliberately, or it's forming accidentally. And in the digital world, it's like, it may be non-existent digitally. And that's a real problem, because the digitization of your reputation is extremely important today. It's mm-hmm. how value is assessed and measured in many ways, whether we like it or not. So I think that's where it starts, is just kind of understanding, okay, this is really about reputation. And once you get that, you immediately break free of like, oh, it's technology, and it means I have to dance on TikTok, and it means I need to do trending audios, and I need to have hashtags, and I need to do, like, none of that stuff. That ain't it.
Yeah.
Reputation. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. It's perfect. And that's so foundational to what we talk about here on the show. So someone has that understanding. They're like, all right, I got it. Yes, I'm committed. And, you know, let's say that, like, let's talk to this audience here, right? This audience here, these people, many of them have been in business for years. They're running a healthy, small, maybe mid-sized company. Maybe they're somewhere between 5 million and 300,000 to 5 million, right? We have people kind of ranging, some are higher than that, but a few hundred thousand to a few million, right? But they're like, I want to take my brand to being a household name, like the people that you help, like the Ed Milet and Lewis Howes and all the others. What are some of the things that they have to really get serious about that maybe are different from what we think about every day? Because I love how you made the distinction when you were like, okay, it starts with understanding what it even is, right? Yeah. The monetization of the reputation and what it isn't. We talked about that. What are some of the things that you think are now like, okay, we got that understanding. What are the things that you
like, how do you do it and where do you start? I'll share with you the single greatest piece of personal branding advice that I've ever received. This is not a Rory Vaden quote. I wish it was, but it's not. Mm-hmm. This quote comes from a gentleman named Larry Winget. Mm-hmm. And Larry, I heard Larry say this early in my career. I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, this is so brilliant. Like, this is what it's all about. And what Larry said is, he said, the goal of a personal brand is to find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. Find your uniqueness and exploit it in the service of others. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, that's definitely it. But Larry was never in the business of teaching people how to find their uniqueness. And so when we started Brand Builders Group, we were like, oh, this is what we have to do. We have to create a methodology and a process that helps extract a uniqueness out of somebody. Into something that we now call a brand positioning statement, which are like these kind of like six core elements of what uniqueness is. And the first step in the process is one that almost everybody skips over. And even if they don't skip over, they can't get it right. It's incredibly difficult, even though it's insanely simple.
Yeah.
And that is that the genesis of the personal brand journey starts by answering one question with only one word. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what problem do you solve in one word?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the issues of why people fail is because of something that we call Sheehan's wall. So we named this after another colleague of ours named Peter Sheehan, who originally created this concept, kind of made it more for the corporate world. We've applied it and tailored it to personal brands, and then we named it after him. But if you think of, like, in any market or group, there's two different groups. There are people who are unknown.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling with obscurity. They're unclear. They're untrusted. They're unknown. And then there are those who are well known. They have mm-hmm. notoriety. These are, mm-hmm. you know, Oprah and you know, The Rock and Brene Brown and whoever, right? And in between these two groups of people is this huge invisible wall that we call Sheehan's wall. And what most small business owners do is they're living sort of in obscurity. They have the thought that you just said. They go, I want to do this. I want to blow up my brand. I want to blow up my business. I want to go to the next level. And then they look at what they look at the people in notoriety are doing, and they go, I'm going to do those things. And so they go, like, well, Tony Robbins talks about lots of different topics. He's like money, and he's got health, and he's got relationships, and, you know, date with destiny, and all of these different things. And Gary Vaynerchuk talks about, you know, all of these different topics, Web3 and business and sports and music and entertainment. And, you know, and so they go, okay, well, I'm going to talk about all these different topics online.
Yeah.
Then they go and they address multiple audiences. So they're like kind of talking to their friends and family they're like friends from college and their friends and family, but then they're also kind of talking to customers, and they're kind of talking to prospects, and they're kind of talking to single moms, and they're kind of talking to executives, but kind of talking to entrepreneurs and kind of talking to 20-year-olds and kind of talking to 50-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they're talking to all these audiences. And then every time you scroll on Facebook or Instagram or something, you see an ad for a new business model.
Mm.
And it's like, the way to millions is to start a coaching company, or to launch a course, or to do webinars, or to you should do a summit, or you should do in-person events, or masterminds, or retreats, or one-on-one coaching, or consulting, or certifications, or, like, you know, like, write a book. All of these different business models. And so what happens is they're talking about all of these topics to all of these audiences with all these business models on all of these different platforms, and they literally are bouncing off the wall.
Yeah.
They're actually creating the very noise they're trying to break free from, because what they are absent of is clarity, and what they're absent of is focus. And when you have diluted focus, you get diluted results.
1,000%.
So how do you break through the wall? Well, it starts by being super clear about what problem do you solve. So I'll give you a couple examples, right? Brene Brown, not a client of ours, but Brene Brown has become one of the most influential voices in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
She never set out to be a speaker. She never set out mm-hmm. to be Time Magazine Person of the Year or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, she was a researcher. And Brene mm-hmm. Brown has dedicated her life to studying shame. Mm-hmm. Brene Brown owns the topic of shame. You mm-hmm. cannot talk about shame and not reference or cite Brene Brown. You mm-hmm. can't. Dave Ramsey is a good friend. He's down the road here in Nashville. He has a multi 9-figure business. That's multi-hundred million dollar business,
mm-hmm.
1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. He has 17 million people who listen to him to the radio every single week. And he says the same thing over and over again, the same 7 baby steps for 30 years, for 3 hours a day on the radio, over and over and over, talking about one problem: debt. Mm-hmm. Dave Ramsey owns debt. You can't mm-hmm. talk about debt without talking about Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey owns debt. And if you look at it, even extends beyond that, like, business to Mother Teresa, dedicated her life to eradicating poverty from the world. Mm-hmm. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dedicated his life to eradicating racism and inequality from the world. There was clarity about the one problem that these people were dedicating their life to. I first broke through the wall with Take the Stairs in my first couple books. They were all about procrastination, the psychology mm-hmm. of overcoming procrastination. And for a while, it was all I was doing, all I was talking about. For a while, I mean, like 15 years, I invented the three types of procrastination. So there's classic procrastination, but then I invented the term creative avoidance, which is unconscious procrastination, and priority dilution, which is the high achievers procrastination. Yeah. And we talked about this, and that's how I got in the media and the books, et cetera. So if you look at Gary Vaynerchuk today, yes, he does talk about lots of things, mm-hmm. but in the beginning, Gary Vaynerchuk became very Gary Vaynerchuk by talking about one topic, wine, on one platform, YouTube.
Yeah.
And that is how he broke through the wall. And so you can't look at what they're doing today. You have to look at what they did. And that's what we help people do. And that's just the very first step. But it's like, if you can't answer that question, what problem do you solve in one word? You're going to struggle. And at Brand Builders Group, the problem we solve is obscurity. Mm-hmm. We help people go from being unclear, untrusted, and unknown to wealthy, well-known, and notoriety, right? Like we're helping them break through the wall.
It's amazing. So I just want to, let me go back for just a second. So I love, which we talk about on the show all the time, what you said about them constantly hitting the wall, but you talked about it in a different way when you said they're actually creating the noise and creating the friction themselves that they're trying to get over. Like, that was huge. I just want to bring that back for everyone, because it's such an issue, right? This is, you know, the instant gratification versus I talk about the tortoise and the hare, right? Who end up winning the race, right? Mm-hmm. And when you said that about Dave Ramsey, you know, he's been talking about his six baby steps, you know, for 30 years. You look at Tony Robbins, same thing. I mean, he's still doing Unleash the Power Within. So what year are we on now?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I just shared the stage with Tony Robbins last week at the Keller Williams National Convention. And so I was like, I'm going to go down and watch Tony because I want to see what he's up to. And I'm like, oh, it's the same. I mean, it's exactly the same.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's the patience, and it's the consistency, and it's the part of what you're talking about too, though, is self-trust also, right? Because a lot of what I see is people just, they're hopping. They're constantly hopping. They're hopping from course to program. They're hopping coaches. They're hopping business models. They're hopping strategies. They're hopping what their focus is, because they don't trust themselves to have the courage. I always say it takes a lot more courage to continue than it does to start. Because in the beginning, you're so optimistic and you're exciting and everything is like fluffy and idealized in your mind. But then you get started and you're like, wow, this is really effing hard.
Yeah.
The courage comes in, the continuance. So talk to me a little bit, Roy, like, how do you help people? I love what you said about the one word. It's unbelievably powerful. And I am not surprised that you said people have so much trouble, right? You said it's unbelievably simple, but it's the thing people get wrong. Okay. But let's say that.
One thing on this, on your hopping thing, because that's so true. And if you go back to the wall analogy, Sheehan's wall, if you actually think about a concrete wall, if you have a sledgehammer and you hit over here and over here and over here and over here and over here, you're not going to do anything to that wall.
Yes.
What happens is, if you hit the same spot over and over and over and over, and debt, get debt free, debt is dumb, cash is king, seven baby steps, over and over and over, for the first few years, it feels like nothing's happening. But then the paint starts to chip. Then the wall cracks. Yeah. Then there's a little shape carved out of it. Yeah. And then what happens is you finally break through the wall. There's a little bit of light, and then the wall busts, and then you just reach through and the whole wall falls down. But it's that discipline of over and over and over the same spot. Yeah. Like, you just got to keep hitting it. So it's hopping is the enemy. Distraction is the enemy. Dilution is the devil. Like, that is the thing that's killing people.
That's so good. Oh, it's so good. Okay. So we got him there. Everybody listening, you understand. Dilution is the devil, right? We got that. Now we're like, okay, we're focused on our one thing. It's continuity. It's consistency. How do you help people once they get clear? Like, let's say this is you're coaching one of your clients and they're clear on their one thing now. how do you help them like really ground into that? And how do you help them contextualize how they're thinking about it, how they're showing up in it, how they're owning it? Like, what does that look like?
Totally. So the Brand Builder Journey, which is our flagship framework that we take mm-hmm. people through, it's broken up into phases. It's four phases.
Okay.
And it's, you know, we have 14 different two-day experiences
mm-hmm.
that would take several years to complete typically.
Mm-hmm.
So finding your uniqueness is the first 2 days. We actually call it finding your brand DNA. So okay. let's assume for a minute that we got through that. Okay. Which, you know, we always do. We don't ever not find somebody's uniqueness.
Yeah.
But it takes a while. It's not like you think about this for 30 seconds and it comes. So, So if you nail that, what happens next is what we call captivating content. So captivating mm-hmm. content, we then extrapolate your uniqueness into a body of work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could think about this as an outline for a book, because that's probably the most pragmatic way your brain will process it.
Mm-hmm.
But what actually happens is you create an outline. You write a TED talk, a keynote, a half-day training, a full-day training, a two-day training, a six-month coaching program, and a year-long consulting program, a full-length video course, and a book all at the same time through the way that we structure the content. And we've also had 6 clients create TED talks that have gone viral with over 1 million views.
Wow.
A lot of that has to do with that there's a science to how you create content that transmits.
Mm.
For example, my TED talk is built around a framework called the focus funnel.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people talk about productivity and time management, but if you want the focus funnel, you have to get it from me, because mm-hmm. it came out of my head. No one else has it. And if you want to learn about multiplying time, you have to learn about that from me. That's a concept that I invented that was extrapolated out of my uniqueness that we turned into a visual framework. And that becomes captivating content. So that's a 2-day experience. The next 2-day experience is what we call world-class presentation craft.
Okay.
And I mentioned to you that I started in my journey. Originally, my goal was to be a speaker. I never wanted to be a podcaster or an author or an online social media digital marketer. I wanted to be a speaker, right? Like, my vision was, I want to be in an arena full of people, like Keller Williams last week, 17,000 people at this event, right? Like, that was my dream.
So
I, for years, studied stagecraft. I'm talking about the psychology of laughter. Mm-hmm. How do you make an audience laugh on demand? I'm mm-hmm. talking about advanced storytelling mechanics. I'm talking about how you use your voice, how you use your gestures, how do you use the stage in a way that creates an emotional experience
mm-hmm.
for the listener. We also teach things like how to sell from the stage. And, you know, I told you our first company was this big seminar business that we built, and then we would sell coaching, right? So it's like, there's an art to that and a science to it, especially if you're trying to do it without being slimy and mm-hmm. you're trying to, you know, advance. And that's why I say we serve mission-driven messengers.
Yeah.
So then that happens. So that's all phase one. Phase two, which is 3 other 2-day experiences, for time's sake and brevity's sake, I'll just lump that and call that the marketing phase.
Okay.
That is the phase that most people think of when today, that's like social media and funnels mm-hmm. and ads and client acquisition and lifetime value and upsells and downsells and podcasting and YouTube strategy. Yeah. But that's only 1/4 of the whole equation. Then in phase 3 is when you really break through the wall. And in phase 3, we have what we call pressure-free persuasion. So it's our service-centered sales training methodology for selling high-dollar offers, like painless and easy.
Yeah.
Full keynote calendar, which is the business of speaking. Even mm-hmm. if you're speaking for free, it's just getting, how do you get on the stages?
Yeah.
And then bestseller launch plan, which is most commonly the moment you break through the wall happens with a book launch.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows how to do book launches. Like, literally, we talk about how writers write, editors edit, publishers publish, distributors distribute, retailers retail, and nobody sells the book. And what we specialize in is how do you sell the book, and then how do you make those sales count in the most optimized way for bestseller reporting? And people have no idea how all that works. It's way more complicated than people realize. We don't let people buy their way onto bestseller lists and game the system. We just teach them, here's all the proven mechanics. Get real humans to actually buy your book and be excited about reading it. Because if you just, if they don't actually read the book, it doesn't really build the brand. And so that's how you break through the wall. And then phase four, again, for brevity, we call it the scaling phase. And it's, I think a lot of like what you talked about on the podcast, you know, it's infrastructure and people and delegation and hiring and systems. And that's going like, how do you go from, you know, a personal brand to an eight-figure business? And that's a very big, there's not very, even the many of the biggest personal brands in the world, very few of them actually reach eight figures. Yeah. So anyways, that's the whole kind of like enchilada.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. I have so many thoughts. Well, first of all, I love how every piece of your personal journey ended up becoming such a huge part of how you are helping people. And I just want to call that out because it's really, really cool that you were able to use those gifts in that way. One of the things that I say to people all the time is they totally discount their past. And so many times all those experiences are all of our gifts that we've been accumulating, and you just like wrapped it all in.
So that's so sharp, Kelly, that you zoned in right on that, because here's what we realized. Okay. That is our secret.
Yeah.
Right. Like if somebody has ever walked through an airport and gone, how do I get my book on a shelf? And how do I get that New York Times bestselling author? And how do I get to be the person speaking in front of 17,000 people?
Yeah.
I know that person more intimately than anyone on this planet, right? Yeah. That is my life. That is my entire life. And here's what we realized, that now we didn't know this when we started Brand Builders Group, but we now know this. And this is actually what you have just zeroed in on, is the shortcut to finding somebody's uniqueness. So if we go all the way back to phase one.
I totally get it. Like I see it in your business. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I've never heard someone describe the way that they developed their own company in that way. And I 100%, like I see it. It's amazing.
Well, and it's a pattern that we've noticed. So once we started training strategists, and you know this because you've had other coaches and things, you need to train them.
Yeah.
We started to realize something, and This is the secret. This is the greatest secret of all right here. We realized that for all of us, you are most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were.
I totally agree with that. I couldn't agree more.
You're most powerfully positioned to serve the person you once were. And we go, oh, that you not only can you not discount your past, that is the future.
Yes.
Like, that is uniqueness. That is the magic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's incredible. Okay. I feel like there's so many other things I want to ask. I want to be cognizant of time. I feel like we need to have like 8 more hours of conversation about this.
We can have more. We can do more.
So good. We have to do this again. But I do want to ask a question. How have you seen, as you're working with people, the psychology shift for them? Because I am always fascinated. I always say that as you scale your business, it goes from like a doing game down here to a thinking game, right? And and it's vision and it's strategy, and it's almost like the intellectual approach to solving problems. I'm very interested in, as you're working with someone and you get someone in your world that you're like, okay, this is happening, they're gonna break through the wall. What are the psychological changes that you see, the changes in them? Like, I'm not talking tactic, right? But like, do you understand what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in one of the big catchphrases from my second book, Procrastinate on Purpose, 5 Permissions to Multiplying Time, which was what the TED Talk was about. You know, the focus funnel is eliminate, automate, delegate, procrastinate, and concentrate. And in the delegate section, we talk about how there's a big shift that you have to, what got you here as a performer won't get you there as a leader. And you have to migrate your thinking from your job is not to do, your job is to make sure it gets done. Right? That's the mindset shift of what we call a multiplier. Well, that same shift in many ways has to happen there's many mental shifts that have to happen.
Yeah.
Right? I think the biggest mental shift of all is realizing your personal brand is not ultimately about you.
Mm-hmm.
Your personal brand is about the person you serve. It's about the audience. It is God's divine design of your life to reach back and help other people. That's what your personal brand. It's not about private jets and fancy homes and like all your famous friends. Like it's not necessarily like wrong or bad to do that, but it's like, that's not the essence of it. The essence is service. So that's a mindset shift.
Yeah.
A big mindset shift for people happens in the area of creating content where, so here's another concept from, procrastinate on purpose and multiplying time. So, you know, I mentioned eliminate, automate, delegate. In the automate section of that methodology, one of the concepts that we realized is that automation is to your time exactly what compounding interest is to your money.
Mm-hmm.
Automation is to your time what compounding interest is to your money. So just like compounding interest takes money and turns it into more money, anything you create a process for today creates time tomorrow, because it's tomorrow the process is doing it instead of you doing it. Well, when it comes to creating content, a lot of people are, you know, frustrated because it's hard, right? Especially to do it well, right? Like to create 1,000 podcast episodes like you've done, and to build, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers online, and like the time and muscle, it's like, yes, it's hard, but every piece of content you create, it's like a soldier in your army.
Yes. Oh, right? I love that. So good.
Every video, every podcast is automating trust for your personal brand. So remember how I said phase two was the marketing phase, and that's like digital marketing. The entire goal for us in terms of how we think about that phase is to build an automated ecosystem around the messenger that does nothing but automate trust.
Yes.
It's just going, you've never met these people, but they're listening to 1,000 episodes of your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You might not know them, but they know you.
Yeah.
And because they know you, they trust you. And because they trust you, they will buy you, or if they won't buy you, they'll at least recommend you, or they'll refer you, and you can automate trust. And so we go, yes, it's hard to create content. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes strategy. Yes, it takes money. Yes, it is a massive pain, but it automates trust at scale. Yeah. And even if it doesn't, as a mission-driven messenger, the reason you started working with us is because you said you wanted to change the world. So push a button and change the world. Like you're one button away.
Yeah.
And so that's a mindset shift. So there's a lot, just like, you know, I know you went from like building a 7-figure business to an 8-figure business really fast. Very few people do that. That takes a lot of mindset shifts.
Yeah.
There's a series of mindset shifts, the psychology that has to change before you ever break through the wall.
Yeah. No, this was so good. I mean, the way I think, and this doesn't surprise me, but what you've been able to do is take things that are typically very complex and overwhelming and teach them in a way that is so simple and powerful that like a switch can flip. Like when someone gets it, they can really get it, right? And I think, I'm sure every single person listening to the show today like got one of those moments to really think differently about their brand, their business, what they're doing next, all of that. But I want them to be able to continue on this journey with you, Rory, because this was amazing. Where do they go next to like keep learning from you, take the next step?
Totally.
I'm sure people want more.
Totally. Well, thank you. So we actually do the first call for free with everybody. So we'll do a first strategy call and we'll lay out the whole system and show you this is exactly what we do.
Okay.
If you want that call, just go to my Instagram profile and DM me the word call or comment on any of the posts, the word call. And then we'll send you information on that. So I'm just Instagram at Rory Vaden. Just go do that.
Perfect.
You know, I think that's the first step, right? Is just great. you can follow along there and, you know, get other ideas and free samples.
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to put all of your information down below and we'll put those instructions for you all as well. Rory, this was incredible. I have such an appreciation for just the power and the simplicity and giving structure to what you're doing the way that you are. And, you know, everyone here is a messenger with a mission. So I'm sure many of them will want to connect with you. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. And just one last little thing, you know, if you are listening and you do feel that call to go like, I feel like I do have something I want to share with the world. We really believe that the calling on your heart is the result of a signal that's being sent out by somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that person needs you much more than you need them. Like they are seeking and searching and perhaps on their hands and knees praying.
Yeah.
For answers to questions that you've already solved and know like the back of your hand. And so the only reason you wouldn't do it typically is because you feel fear. You know, am I going to do the right thing? I don't know the technology. I don't have the team, blah, blah, blah. It's all self-centered. Fear is so self-centered. But there is no fear when the mission to serve is clear. So stay focused on who you're serving. And that fear will go away. There is no fear when the mission to serve is clear.
So good. I love it. So powerful. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the work that you're doing and to be continued.
To be continued.
Thank you so much for listening to The Kelly Roach Show. If you enjoyed this episode, do me two solids. Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review so other people can find the life-changing content that we share here. We're on our way to number one and we need your help getting there. Thanks so much for being a part of the community and for tuning into the show each and every week.